Thank you, band, especially our little drummer, Evie. Yeah. Thank you, yeah. Yeah. She's pay for that, I think. So thank you. Before I begin, now that the handover has happened, there's one piece of business I have to attend to because I have it in writing and it's on the internet. My first act is to give somebody a title. We agreed it when we were talking about the handover, but Pastor Eric White has gone from being senior pastor. He is still Pastor Eric. He is now the founding pastor of the Sports Village Church. So, yeah. Okay, and thank him, and as well look forward to working with him, as we have done for all these years. So there we go. Practically, I don't think anything will change, because he's a, as my father-in-law says, he's the finest being. That's one of the things Stuart says. You can ask him about it sometime. They went to school together, so I'm sure they know what they mean, but there we go. Right, we're taking a break from Luke. We're going to look at a handover from the Bible. We're in Joshua chapter 1. It's Joshua chapter 1, and we'll see how we go, because we've had a full service. I think what I'm going to do, the first half of the chapter, I'll talk, and that'll be like exposition. The second half will be something that's been on my heart over the past year. Yeah, because it really was. It really was. So we'll read from verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land that I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So that's the first half. And so here they are, ready to take the land. This is a lesson, first of all, in the faithfulness of God. He begins, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them." The promise to give Israel the land goes right the way back to Genesis 12, when God promised Abraham at first, or Abram as he was then, that he would give the land that he promised to the people of Israel. And that centuries, years had gone by before this happened. You know, and look at what, think about what happened in between that. You know, there was the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Jacob's son Joseph. Israel goes into Egypt because there's a massive famine, and then they become slaves. And 430 years go by. Then Moses takes them out And then for 40 years, the first generation all die in the wilderness because they disobeyed God. But here they are still, you see. Because even though men and women can be faithless, he's faithful, he can't deny himself. God had promised that he would give Israel the land. And here they are. Despite all that, the schemes of men, the faithlessness of his people, God has kept his promise. And here they are. And Joshua is given the task of leading the people in. Now, Joshua wasn't perfect, because leaders aren't perfect. Indeed, the only reason Joshua was leading them is because Moses disobeyed God. You know, you can read about that in Numbers chapter 20. God says to Moses, "Speak to the rock," and Moses hits it. And God says, "You failed to glorify me, so you're not leading the people into the land. You won't see it." Leaders aren't perfect, but they're the people. Moses and Joshua were the people God had commissioned at that time to do what he'd called them to do. And Joshua gives instructions, and the emphasis in this first half is the presence of God and the promise of God. And we'll look at them. They're very interwoven. The promise of God, as we've talked about, is this, that you can trust this, that this will happen because I've promised. If God hadn't kept his promise, he'd have denied his holiness, because he'd have lied. He'd have denied his power, because, well, man, this dust got in my way. You know, it's funny when I hear people say that, "Oh, I don't want to get in God's way." When's dust ever got in your way? Yeah? Man's called dust and ashes compared to God. God is sovereign. God is sovereign over everything. Nothing that happens without his say-so. And he's, as I say, if he had not done this, he would have denied his own God nature. The universe would have plunged into chaos because God would have ceased to be God. So all of God's promises and are yea and amen. Yes and amen. Sorry, I went back into Old English then. Because we know the whole story. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All the promises of God are yes and amen because of who? Jesus. The true Joshua. Because that's what Joshua is. Jesus is the Greek way of saying it. It means savior, rescuer. So all that God has said, he will do. So all the gospel promises that we've talked about today, we sing in one of the songs, "Your promises are my delight." They're all yours because of Jesus Christ. And because God is holy, because God is faithful, because God is God. And we see the wisdom of God. As I've said, many a long year had gone by. Is God really going to do this? You know, generations have gone, people have died. So whatever you're going through, God is still on the throne. However hard it might seem, and yes, when you're going through illness, depression, whatever it is you're going through, it's hard. Some of you, you're going through things they couldn't write books on. But God is still on the throne and he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. And what's the promise? I will never fail you or abandon you. When we're going through dark times, when it looks as if God's promise is slow, then we trust him. It's actually perhaps a test of our faith. You know, do we really trust him? And he goes on, be strong and courageous. You know, Israel was about to go to war. You know, they needed encouraging, they needed drumming up. Think of the speeches Mr. Churchill gave during the Second World War. They rallied the troops. Roosevelt, the President of the United States, they rallied the troops. They made people feel good. They made people feel like, yes, we can do it. Because Why? Because God is with them. He says, be strong and courageous. I will go with you. I'm with you. And I will never leave you or forsake you. So this is the presence of God. And this has been something that's emphasized, that needs to be emphasized, because Israel had to learn the lesson again. In Numbers 14, verse 42, Moses, the people of Israel are told, do not go up, for the Lord is not among you. And the Canaanites and the Amalekites crushed Israel in battle that day. God had withdrawn. Why? Israel had disobeyed God. That's what sin always does. Sin causes God to withdraw. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian anymore. It doesn't mean that God hates you or that he's abandoned you. It just means, like any parent, like we got told, go to your room. Because that was it. It's a way of fatherly discipline. You know, we all know it, don't we, when we're close to God. You know, it can be miserable weather outside, but we still feel like we're walking on sunshine. We have joy in our hearts and happiness. And then, as weeks go by, it's not so much anymore. We're not as quick to confess our sins anymore. We get grumpy and miserable. If it's me, you comfort eat. You have bad thoughts. And it comes down. Grace declines in the soul, as it were. The growing in grace, we're not doing it. It's either forward or backward in the Christian life. And there's an old hymn that says, you know, oh, for a closer walk with God. Where's the joy I once knew? And then he says, every sin in my heart, I rip it out because I want you to have my heart, God. So this is what Joshua is encouraging them to. God's with them. Don't let that go. Live all of life surrendered to God. Now, how do we do that? Well, in verse 8, he gives this instruction. This book of study, this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Israel was told, right, we're going to do this, and you can do it because God's with you. Now, what do you have to do? Read the Bible, think about it, and obey it. Read the Bible. They had the first five books, and they were told, read it. You know, morning and evening, throughout the day. And meditate means to think about it. You know, we all meditate on something. Whether it's going on holiday, what we're going to have for tea. Meditate just means think about, in the Christian way. Most of that word's used about, you know, yoga and stuff like that, where you empty the mind. In the Bible, meditate means you fill your mind with scripture or other godly truths. And ask of it, what does it teach me? What should I believe and what should I do? You know? That's meditation. What does it teach me about God? What does it teach me about me? And what am I going to do? Yeah? That's meditation. And reading the Bible, you can read it however many times a year you want. You can memorize it backwards, learn the Greek, the Hebrew, get all translations and study them all. But if it's not lived, it's pointless. God gives us the Bible for us to read, to feed our souls, and to make us like Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Rick Warren says in his book, Almighty God, by the Spirit of God, uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Reading the Bible. And the other means God's given us, singing scriptural songs, prayer, worship, the Lord's Supper, all these things God's given us. to speak truths to us. And I'm reading from the NLT, but of my translation that I use, the English Standard Version says, this, where it says, where am I? Study this book of instruction continually, meditate on it day and night. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Talk about it. Join a life group. Yeah? Or if you don't feel ready to join a life group, get a friend. Talk about it. You know, when you come to SVC, the passages we preach on are in the newsletter. Be reading them through the week. Come prepared so you know what we're going to talk about. And maybe, just maybe, talk about it in that half an hour we have while we're eating together. Ask, what did you think of that passage? And if you didn't understand any of it, say so. It's fine. A lot of the Bible I don't understand. When we went through Daniel, yeah? I was glad I only preached about once every 2 months back then. I didn't understand any of it. But it's something we learn together, yeah? Be talking about it. Be thinking about it. But most importantly, live lives obediently to it. Because SVC, that's how churches have been destroyed. Yeah? Eric mentioned it last week, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. We get the fruit of the Spirit in our lives by abiding in Christ, by abiding in Him, by surrendering to Him, and by obeying Him. If we don't, remember what the Lord Jesus said in the book of Revelation to the seven churches, get yourself sorted, paraphrasing, this is northwest of England, paraphrase, sort yourselves out, or I'll take your lampstand away. And in the large part of the world where those churches were, they're under Islamic dictatorships now. So, in Christ, under grace, under the gospel, let's live for Jesus Christ. Let's respond in love to Him. Thinking about what He's done for us, as we've just remembered, and saying, Jesus, you're so amazing, I love you, and I want to serve you. Being quick to confess our sins, to get things right, and to come to SVC ready to serve each other and God and take part. Now we'll read the second half of the chapter, and I won't be too long, I know time's going. Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the River Jordan. But your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer the territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest, and He has given you rest, and until they do, possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan and the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, has assigned to you. Then they answered Joshua, we will do whatever you commanded us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we have obeyed Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything that you've commanded will be put to death. So be strong and courageous. So Joshua's first act is to go and tell them, these three tribes, Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh, that they had to honor Moses' promise. So he honored the previous leader. He didn't come in and say, right, I'm in charge now, I'm overturning everything. That'd be completely disrespectful. And what's more, why would he do that? Joshua served with Moses. He would have had an input, I dare say, into some of it. Moses and Joshua were on the same side. I know they said Moshua then. That's an odd thing. Both names came out. But he promised, Moses in Numbers 32 promised the tribes this. They wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan. If you imagine the Mediterranean Sea is here, Israel's here, there's the Jordan. Here was where those three tribes were because they wanted to, it was nice, a better place for the livestock. It's where Syria and Lebanon, I guess, are now. And Moses had promised them that. And Joshua says, yes, we'll honor the promise that Moses made, but you have to fight with the Israelites, and you have to give them the rest. It's not, okay, you've done your bit, the other fellows will go and fight, because that would have bred division. The tribe that went in, would have said, oh, are they not coming with us? They've got what they want, have they? Blow us, we'll just go to die while they live in luxury. No. Joshua is wise. And the wisdom that's from above in James chapter 3, it's peaceable. It keeps the peace. It's pure. It's a harvest of righteousness. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So Joshua keeps the peace. But he says, we're going to take new ground. We're going to take the land. Are you ready to take new ground, SVC? Yeah? And I tell you what I was thinking of when I was thinking of taking ground. Because I've said this to you, and I said it at the PCC at CCP last time. Yeah? It's the big council they have at Christchurch, for those who don't know. Over the summer, I was quite sad. A friend of mine, an elderly gentleman, passed away. And his funeral was the Friday after Margaret's funeral. And his name was Donald Gordon, but I knew him as Father Gordon. I became a Christian when I was 18, but I started to go to church when I was about 12, of my own choice. And I went to the Church of England Church in the morning, and with my dad's family, I went to the Catholic Church. And one day I was walking, summer holidays I think it was, I was walking down the street, and I bumped into Father Gordon. And I introduced himself. He said he knew my family, and he made me a cup of tea. It was 1999, so we'll say 20 years ago. I was about 14. And over the years, because things were pretty rough at home, he gave me a place to stay. Not overnight, he just said, there's a nice living room. Have a cup of tea. He gave me a meal. And we talked about religion and spiritual things. And he was my friend up until, well, a year or two before he died, because he got Alzheimer's. He was 91. I was Jack's age and Evie's age when I started going to visit him 20 years ago. What's the first thing you thought of when you heard of a young boy on his own with a Catholic priest? You didn't think that 20 years ago. And as I went to his church just to see what they were going to say about him one Saturday night. And I was thinking, I looked around and I thought, wow, I remember her. Wow, she's got a big family. She was in my year at school. Wow, you know, I was thinking about the changes. And I thought, wow, this 20 years, so much has changed. How much has Britain changed? Can you imagine Jack or Evie on their own with a Catholic priest or a nun today? Wouldn't happen. Wouldn't happen. And no, nothing did happen. I only ever hugged him once when he was 18 and he retired and he hated it because he was the older generation. They didn't do that. And it got me thinking about how Britain's changed over the past 20 years. Of course, think of it 20 years ago. No social media, No Facebook or Twitter. And my degree is in politics, so I started to think politically. It was 1998. The new Labour era had just started. Bill Clinton was president of the United States. We'd won the Cold War. The economic problems of the 70s, the boom and bust of the 80s were all in the history books. It was a time of plenty, of peace. Or so we thought. So we thought. And I'll tell you, 20 years ago, nobody would have said to a politician, "Excuse me, you believe marriage is between one man and one woman, and you're against abortion in every sense. Can you really be Prime Minister of this country?" That happened on the Daily Politics several times. Britain very soon is going to be an unreached country. Because my thoughts, when I was thinking about how Britain has changed over the past 20 years, how secular, anti-Christian, particularly anti-Christian, there are in this country, I thought, what's Britain going to be like when Jack's my age in 20 years? Are you ready to take new ground? Are you ready to commit yourself to the work to Christ, to the work of the gospel, to see our town and our nation changed? Yeah? I don't know if it's going to happen. That's all in the will and the sovereignty of God. But are we going to say we're committed? We will go. We will be strong and courageous. We'll obey the written word. We'll read and meditate on it day and night. We'll be a peace-loving church. We'll be a church of grace and love and unity to show the world out there that there is hope and his name is Jesus Christ. Yeah? Are we going to do it? Are you committed to it? Good. Praise God. Let's do it. That's my commitment to you. I'm not going to get everything right. This vision night that we're doing, we're talking, a lot of emphasis will be on praying through things. Because I want to listen to you, and I think we should be listening to God. What is God's heart for this church going forward? So come along. If you've got things on your heart, you want to share them, there'll be a lot of prayer. If you have any ideas, come and share them. Won't be able to do them all at once, of course we won't. But we'll commit to considering them and listening and testing. And one other thing that happened, and I'm going to speak up for the leaders here. The tribes encouraged Joshua. Encourage your leaders, all 10 of us. Because they work really hard for you. Yeah? Jude, Simone, Simon, Anthony, Andy, me, Phil, Barbara, Eric and Jackie. Encourage them. Lift them up. Do the work of God in this church. Treat each other. Here you go. Treat each other how you'd treat Jesus Christ. Yeah? Because that's how we'll be judged on that day. He says in Matthew 25, doesn't he? You didn't do it for them, the least of my brothers, well, you didn't do it for me. Yeah? So, Jesus Christ is our captain. And he's taking us to the promised land, the heavenly Jerusalem. But as we go through this world, we'll have many a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we know we're on the winning side because in the last book of the Bible, they're all singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." They're all in the new Jerusalem. All things are made new. All righteous unrighteousness is taken away. And so again, let's commit ourselves. Because Joshua was working, he was standing on the shoulders of giants. Yeah? That's what we're doing. The leaders that went before us, they're all heroes. those that are still on leadership and those that aren't. So I think of Joe and Emma, Daz and Steph, who helped set this church up with Eric and Jackie. Think of Trevor. Think of Phil. How hard they all worked. They gave it their all, because that's how special they are. So encourage, be a blessing to your church, Mount Family. And that's how we'll see ground taken. So are you ready? Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he's exalted to the right hand of majesty on high. So humble yourselves before God, and he'll exalt you. And that's God's word for us today. Amen. Oh Lord, Lord, we pray that you'd burn these words into our hearts, that we'd live as people submitting to your authority, that we'd be filled with the Spirit, and that we'd bless, and that we would take ground for you. We'll just bring before God the work that's happening this week. Pray that you bless Ali with life skills. Bless the life groups as they meet. Bless everyone in this church. Thank you that Joan's here. We pray for Christine. May she be resettling. And we pray for everyone here, oh God, that we'd go from here joyful. That we know this is the place you want us to be. That we'd go joyful because you've forgiven us and that you've made us yours. And if you're in the hand of Jesus Christ, you're in it forever and ever, because he's promised it. And all his promises are yea and amen. God bless you.